back on a Friday night, and we're going down to Las Vegas to talk to Bad Boy Johnny Barber. How are you doing, Big John?
Well, Jeff, I'll tell you, you can hear from the sound of my voice that I'm sort of get. I never ever get sick, you know, and I've come down with a second bout of flu in like 20 years, and I just don't know where it comes from. There is no real antibiotic, you know, that you can take. I think I'm being made sick by American politics, and the only antibiotic is humor, and I'm having a very, very tough time finding it. So I feel like when I was first here in the 50s, I went to see Joey Lewis at the old El Rancho.
Jack Leonard, another one.
Yeah, Joey Lewis. He was played wonderfully by Frank Sinatra in the Joker is Wild. And I remember when he staggered up to the microphone, and he has a drink in his hand, as he always had a drink in his hand. He says, "I just got out of a sick bed. My girlfriend's got a temperature." I never forgot.
What was the name of that movie?
The line, but I got really, really nervous when I was listening to your previous guests. Really interesting,
nervous?
By the way. Both
sweaty brow.
I'll have a couple of comments on that, but you talking about the disappearances in the parks, the book 411, written by this guy Paiotis or whatever
Politis.
His name was.
Politis.
Greek fellow. Anyway, it made me really nervous because a couple of years ago, I got a lifetime pass as a gift from someone who claimed he was a fan.
Somebody trying to tell you something, right?
Mm-hmm. In America.
How lucky do you feel, John?
Jeff, if I disappear, it won't be pedophilia. It'll be necrophilia.
God. 411, the disappearance of John Barber.
411. Yeah. Well, you know, you were talking earlier about what was that? The guy that worked with Hillary, who was involved with Pizzagate.
Oh, one of the creepiest people on the planet, John Podesta.
Yeah, well, I forget what the guy's name was. I don't like to remember it.
No.
But in any event, one of the reasons that really never took traction is because there were never any charges filed by anyone. There were never any victims' names, so it just sort of...
How often are there in pedophilia cases, though?
Yeah, well, that's just it. But you want to know something what nobody is talking about, and this is another Greek name. Guy's name, I believe, is Yiannopoulos or Timopoulos. Does that name sound familiar?
Yeah.
You know
Milo,
what I'm talking about?
Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yes, that's right. Now, this is a guy, okay, that was rising high, and another Greek, you know, in contemporary American democracy, it's supposed to be one man, one vote.
Right.
In ancient Greek democracy, the origins of dark democracy, it was one man, one boy. So it seems
that's not a joke.
The
ancient Greece
still hanging around this subject. Well, this guy, Milo, whatever you mentioned, he was moving up in
the conservative ranks.
Trump camp, if you want to call it the Trump camp.
Right.
Until they discovered that this guy publicly supported pedophilia, and he publicly spoke against an age of consent, and he said that young boys should be taught the facts of life men.
I know.
And it was only within the last 2 weeks that he was disinvited from this CPAC conference that they were holding in Washington, D.C. And how a guy like this, first of all, can move up in any sphere of society is beyond me.
Well, you can
and
figure it out, John.
It was only 2 weeks ago that somebody published the quotes and they had to get rid of him. And yet he still has a very prominent
You can figure
position.
Out how he gets up there. Come on. He gets up through the network of pedophiles. They promote their own. That's how it does.
Then that has to mean that there would have to be...
There's a hell of a lot of them. Hugh, it doesn't matter what camp. It doesn't matter. Left, right, center, upside down, forward, backwards, it doesn't matter. Pedophilia, Satanism, Luciferianism is all over the place.
Well, again, it goes back to Jeff. I said to this to you a dozen times. Nature's primary purpose is fornication and food. Okay, now we're
don't
solving
sleep.
A lot of the food problem, but unless a society can develop some sort of society that healthfully accepts and recognizes massive drive of nature for sex and to somehow channel it properly, it is going to continue. It is going to get, look what, you cannot suppress that. Look what it did to the Catholic Church. It literally destroyed, it turned priests into homosexuals, for crying out loud. It just is so totally unnatural, and it is something that almost every society is afraid to face. Oh, and I must say, you're really cute. I adore you because, you know, you were one of the very, very first, if not the very first, person with a really wide audience to come out in support of Donald Trump. And now I feel so bad for you because so much
you're not
much
watching
of that,
my website. I was the first person to
so
start to hold
that,
him accountable, John.
Yeah,
he's
well,
reversed
so
himself.
Is,
I don't do it.
Well, it's evaporating and dribbling away on you, and it really makes me feel kind of sad for you. But, you know...
Oh, no, I'm fine. Don't worry.
Yeah, you are fine because, you know, you still have a sense of humor about it. Thank goodness.
I tell the truth. But, if he turns 180 degrees, damn it, I'll report it. And he has, and I have.
Well, get back to... How cute you are. I loved the way you introduced Dean Henderson. You introduce him as though he's the last liberal in America.
He is.
he's some kind of museum piece.
He's the last intelligent liberal in America.
Well, listen, there are no more liberals in America. It's a total fallacy. Listen, Chris Hedges wrote a brilliant book 3 years ago, Death of the Liberal Class. You know what it reminds me of? I was quite friendly with Ray Bradbury when I lived in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Ray Bradbury, Nabokov, and...
Vladimir Nabokov, all right.
Vladimir Nabokov, and, God, I had a friend who was... Oh gosh, who was
you actually had one, eh?
Many times.
Uh-huh. I knew that would come out soon.
The three best science fiction writers in America.
Yeah.
And Ray Bradbury wrote this wonderful story back in the 70s about Los Angeles becoming so many freeways and so many tunnels that forests and trees were disappearing. And so what L.A. did on the top of Mulholland Drive is they built this long tunnel, and in the middle of the tunnel, they put a tree. They planted a real tree.
Right.
And on weekends, people could drive up Mulholland and go into the tunnel to look at the tree.
That's funny.
However, if they stayed too long looking at the tree, there were steel doors at either end of the tunnel that would shut down, and these people would be asphyxiated by their own cars. And they'd have to go in and clean them out, and then they'd start again next week.
This is a Bradbury story, huh? That's hilarious.
It's a Ray Bradbury story. Yeah. Well, that's what you should do with Dean Henderson. You should set up a statue of Dean or a picture of Dean as the last living liberal in America. So people who like what he has to say, and he has a lot of really bright things to say, but why you need him more than anything is the conservatives and the neoconservatives have to have a real liberal to hate. And there are not any anymore. You cannot point out one to me in the mainstream media who is an absolute liberal anymore. They have absolutely and totally disappear. Now, the business of Donald Trump.
Who?
Is,
who was that again?
We had President's Day last Monday, and it was a holiday. And I thought, oh, my God, how wonderful it would really be if we had had a president's holiday every day since they murdered John Kennedy and didn't have to put up with any of these people, with the possible exception maybe of Jimmy Carter, who were all absolute and total incompetent idiots working for the mainstream media, working for the CIA. Oh, and speaking of that, Barack Obama was not and is not a communist. Now, his father was a communist. But if you look at the history of Barack Obama's mother and you look at the history of his grandfather,
she worked for the Ford Foundation.
They were all CIA.
She worked for the Ford Foundation.
CIA,
yes, yes.
Bill Clinton, when he was supposedly a Rhodes Scholar in England and turning everybody in who mentioned anything that was sort of anti-war or anti-USA. And it is on record that William Casey, who was the head of the Central Intelligence Agency,
right,
at one time, Reagan asked him, what is this about Project Mockingbird? And William Casey is on record as saying, we'll know that everything America believes is great when everything we tell them that they believe is false. William Casey is on record as saying that, being quoted, and he went to visit Bill Clinton in Arkansas when Bill was governor and thanked him for helping to protect the airport at that place called Mena or whatever it was, where the CIA was operating their cocaine interception operation that resulted in the death of two young boys, by the way, who happened to accidentally stumble upon
more,
it.
So, more than that, but you're right.
So I wouldn't be pointing fingers at the communists who no longer exist.
Well, Frank Marshall Davis was... Let me say something now.
Okay.
Barack Obama, according to Dreams from My Real Father, the documentary...
Right.
Was fathered by Frank Marshall Davis, who we have photos, used to pay white women to pose nude for him. This is a very, very ugly kind of hobby. He supposedly knocked up Barack's mother. She gave birth to him in Seattle and then flew back to Hawaii. When Barack was about 10, 12 years old, he figured out who his father was. And for the next 6, 7 years, he was mentored by the communist Frank Marshall Davis in Hawaii. This is the story.
That's true. There's no question about that, but that has nothing to do with the fact that he became president of the United States, or even he might have believed his father for 11 or 12 years or what have you. What is that great actor who was on Cheers? Do you know who I'm talking about? His father was a convicted murderer, a convicted assassin who may have been one of the Sturges, who may have been
That's
one of the
Woody Harrelson's
in
dad.
Dallas.
Woody Harrelson's
okay,
dad.
He didn't grow up to be a sniper. He didn't grow up to be a killer. So that's absolute nonsense to blame the father. Now, the father, listen, communism didn't come about because it was evil. Communism came about because the Industrial Revolution in England was evil. This was supposedly an antidote to the English Industrial Revolution that turned children into slaves. So blaming communists is foolish because they don't exist anymore. Socialists don't exist anymore. All that exists in America anymore is corruption. You know, there was a time when I was a kid going to Frank Capra movies, I just worshipped the Constitution. I heard about it everywhere. When I saw Jimmy Stewart in the Capra movies and Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, he talking about the Constitution. There is no more Constitution. Now Americans worship corporations. We have been a courtocracy ever since they murdered John Kennedy for
corporatocracy. How can you
That's
be
right.
so
and
damn?
You know that,
you're so quiet, so restrained. How do you do it?
Well, I'm the most peaceful person. I know I'm so quiet and I'm so reserved.
I can't get a word out of you. It's disgusting. You're the worst guest in radio.
Like Abbott and Costello, who's on first. I mean, it just doesn't stop. Do you know that Jimmy Carter said publicly, America will never get back to where it should be unless we solve the murder of President John F. Kennedy.
That's the best line that Carter ever said.
You never, ever hear that quote. And what he did is he appointed one of John Kennedy's best friends and major advisors to be head of the Central Intelligence Agency, specifically to look into the murder of John Kennedy.
Yeah, didn't get far. I can't remember his name.
The Central Intelligence Agency and the establishment were so afraid that this Kennedy supporter would do what John Kennedy said when he said, we are going to turn the CIA into 1,000 pieces and blow it into the wind, that they picked instead a Navy man, Stansfield Turner, to become head of the CIA. What nobody seems to know is that in Los Angeles, California, shortly thereafter, there were two men arrested for attempting to assassinate John Kennedy, Jimmy Carter, and it's in the documentary, and the names of the two men revealed, which shows you what a great sick sense of humor the CIA has, a great dark sense of humor, and how in control of America they are, is the names of the men were Raimondo Oswaldo and Oswaldo Esmeralda.
That's funny.
They were the two names, and Jimmy Carter said, I have lost control of the government. And Jimmy Carter was sabotaged, of course, as you know, by the Reagan and George Bush and rest of them over the captives that they had in Iran, because Iran was ready to release them to Jimmy Carter. Yeah. And it was stopped by Reagan, who promised the Iranians a much better deal if they didn't release them to Carter, because that would have made Carter the president of the United States for a second term. And excuse me. And speaking of terms, you know,
Iran-Contra,
are the only one I know now. Most people are talking in terms of term limits of 2 years for congressmen or senators and 4 years for a president. Do you know, Jeff, you are the only one I know who is for a 90-day term limit.
No, 90. No, I'd go for a 90-day campaign season.
That's what I say. It's a 90-day term limit on
campaigns.
On your boy tunnel. Now, you know, I do not like to defend Trump, but I do like to defend the truth. And the one thing that Dean says and your previous guests say, which is so true, regardless of what you think about Donald Trump, his mere election brought to light the lie of the entire mainstream media. Now, not only did we know that from what we saw, then he came out and verbalized it, and every day this week he is saying that the mainstream media is the enemy of the American people, and everyone is attacking him. But the truth is, if you look at the non-coverage of the assassinations of John Kennedy, of Martin Luther King, and of Robert Kennedy, and if you look at the media support for what they knew was a fake Gulf of Tonkin resolution and a fake war in Vietnam,
USS Liberty,
weapons of mass destruction, which never existed, and supported by Miller at the New York Times, that ended up in the deaths of thousands and thousands of American troops, but millions of innocent people, you know that the American media is nothing more than a press agent for imperialism and murder. Okay, now,
A genocide, again, mass murder, how? It's the fourth branch of government. You couldn't be more correct. I've always felt this way. Always.
Well, look, at the mainstream media is like McDonald's. It's fast junk food for the mind that can literally kill you. It is the press is non-existent in America. It is totally non-existent. When I started in television, as I told you, in 1970, a station could only own, a company could only own five stations.
Right.
And now five corporations own 95%
thanks
of all
to the Clintons.
Stations because of Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Another CIA president, for crying out loud.
It's got Rhodes Scholar. Remember, Rhodes Scholar is not for scholarship. It's for political gain. That's what Rhodes Scholars are about.
That's exactly right. Now, I tell you, there was a guy that I used to watch quite often on HBO. He does a show called Real Time. And his name is Bill Maher.
Yeah, he's one of the biggest pieces of garbage on the planet, John. Did you see the videos? Did you get the stories?
Well, let me tell you what I saw last week that literally made me yell at the screen. And I was so appalled by the man's ignorance. He said that the biggest traitor in America today is Donald Trump. And why was Bill Maher calling him a traitor? Because he colluded with the Russians to have himself elected president of the United States. Now, to me, the greatest, greatest traitorous bit of information ever in America was the murder and cover-up of John Kennedy. And every political assassination since is a whole lot worse. Now, let me tell you something. I did not vote for Trump. I know dozens of people who do, who did. Some are Republicans, some are Democrats, some of them are anarchists, but they just couldn't stand to have Hillary or the or the military in there again. So they put in Donald Trump because at least he was different.
That's
and he's
right.
shown that he has indeed been different. And I asked every one of them, when you were in the voting booth, did you hear somebody in the next stall speaking Russian? None of them did.
No.
He was elected president of the United States by Americans, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I cannot understand. I must tell you, listening to Bill Maher now is like having my ears waterboarded. And it's like that with almost everyone on television now. Tucker Carlson, Bill O'Reilly. All of them. Nobody has a conversation with anybody. They sound like me. They're yelling at everybody. But the point is, it's gone. I cannot watch or listen to anything on television anymore. Anymore. It's gone. Now, fortunately, you've relegated that tube to the garbage can for you.
28 years.
I still have it in the house because it's part of my business. But I can't watch it anymore.
No, I thoroughly understand. What's to watch? Come on. If you want to go into a zone and just let life pass you by, watch TV. If you want to be proactive and live life and really do something that matters, even if it's small, turn the damn thing off or get rid of it. It's not going to help you any. The first day you allow your child to look at commercial television is the first day that that child is programmed to begin to hate you.
You're absolutely right. You know, there's something that I want to play for you because, you know, we need the only salvation and survival tool against what's going on in America is a sense of humor. Now, Saturday Night Live now with Alec Baldwin. I'm not a fan of Alec Baldwin, but I must tell you, his impression of Donald Trump is absolutely magnificent. But the terrible thing is, it is as though Donald Trump is the only thing we can attack humorously in America anymore.
That's sad. That's sad.
That is more than sad. It is pathetic. I'm going to play something for you right now.
Lenny Bruce.
No, it's not. It's better than that.
Oh.
It's from 1955. It is nearly 70. It's nearly 70 years old.
Shelley Berman?
A great old show called Mad TV.
Huh.
it sounds as though it could have been written today. Ah. Now, it runs 3 minutes. I'm going to play it. You enjoy this. It may shock you, but we're going to have something to talk about afterwards. You all set?
Roll 'em.
Here we go.
Never spoke or sung. Hi, I'm Darlene McBride. You know, I love this country the way it used to be. Simple-minded with simple values, simple people. But then the big government, the Supreme Court, and those bleeding heart liberals just couldn't leave well enough alone. And now look at it. A big, ugly melting pot just boiling over on what used to be a nice, quiet stove. To launch my Take Back America tour across this great country. I'll be coming to a city near you, singing inspirational songs filled with traditional values. The Lord loves the NRA. He told me so the other day. He spelled it out from bullets in the sky. He's sitting up in heaven with his AK-47. He's a rough and ready macho kind of guy.
Oh, 1955, huh?
Wow. Excuse me, Mr. Negro. But I'd like to ask you a question. What's so bad about the facts of the bus? On the overburdened healthcare system.
Wow.
Here's my solution. Hey, senorita, put down that fajita. Don't tell me you're eating for two. Before you break water, I've got an order that I'm about to give to you. Now get your butt back to Mexico. Adios, amasa. Get your butt back to Mexico. And then
in these cities on her upcoming tour. Laramie, Dallas, Little Rock, Amarillo, Topeka, Rapid City, Des Moines,
Now, the reason the audience was laughing so hard at the end of that is when she was outlining her tour of the United States, it created a large red swastika. Oh. Now, Jeff, when I was starting out as a comic, I would sit in an audience to watch this show with a mixed group of people, Mexicans and Black Americans and Indians and other aspiring comics, and we would stand and cheer this. Everything that this thing you just
Who wrote this? It sounds like something you'd write. The great
Well, it's
what a
from
funny...
the 1955
that's hard
Mad
to believe.
Magazine comedy show.
It came from the Mad. Okay, I got you.
It came from Mad, and the thing is, it sounds as though it was written today.
I agree.
But everything is so politically incorrect, they would never air it. Now, to show you how hungry people are to hear this kind of thing, this has had 8 million hits.
Unreal. Unreal.
8 million hits. And you want to know something? The internet is filled with a lot of this stuff that you can't even find unless you have a warped friend like you have with me who has this stuff. I have this stuff sent to me all the time.
That's amazing, John. That is, really.
And I must tell you, I miss it, and I miss it so much. I'm even laughing. I miss. Well,
you missed the last of the good days, so to speak.
Oh, I'm telling you.
I understand. I do.
We were so lucky. I was so lucky to be in show business when I was in show business. It was just.
Did you know it at the time, John? When did that realization set in? Seriously. When did you realize how lucky you were to be in show business and be so damn successful and so damn creative. You are amazing.
I think it was probably when I moved to Las Vegas about 20 years ago, because that was the departure of the mob from Las Vegas and the takeover of Las Vegas by corporations, when all of a sudden I realized that the stars of the town were no longer the Frank Sinatras or Dean Martins or Sammy Davis Jr.'s or Shecky Greens or anybody like that. It was the buildings themselves. And then they began to release
Disneyland.
Statistics. They began to release statistics. Now, when I opened for Robert Goulet back in 1967, which was my first appearance here, and it was an absolute joy, 84% of all income to the casinos came from gambling. And for like $20, you could get a drink and a dinner, and people dressed like they were going to a wedding, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Now they're dressed like they're refugees from Walmart, and they bring a package that they bought with food stamps. It's just awful. There are no more real great headliners in Las
when
Vegas.
I was,
it's
I
gone.
First, John, I, let me say one thing. I first went there, I think it was 1967. My grandfather was a very famous French chef, very famous. He studied with Escoffier. He married into the family when I was about four. He was a chef at the International, which became the
The Hilton.
It was the Hilton International or whatever. Anyway, he was there, and he had been the chef at Ciro's, I've told you, for almost 10 years in the late 1940s for Herman Hoover. I went there in 67 as a kid, and I remember the marquees, they would just say, Dean, or Sammy, or Frank. That's all they'd have to say.
That's all they would say. Elvis, that was it.
That's it.
That's all they had to say. You know, you were talking about Donald earlier, and you were sort of referencing the fact or alluding to the fact that it was kind of Shakespearean. Well, the truth is, you caught yourself because you know that he's not...
No, he is not. He is not a great Shakespearean figure.
He's not a King Lear, and he is not a Hamlet. But I'll tell you what he is.
It's the whole venue that he's stuck in that is Shakespearean. He's surrounded by people.
You know what he is?
Anyway, go ahead.
He is Falstaff.
Oh, there you go. That's good.
That's exactly who he is, and that's exactly how the people are treating him when they should not treat him that way.
That's good for you.
The man was elected president of the United
States. You're totally right, John. Totally. That's extremely astute. Good job.
Well, it is sad, but I'll tell you one thing that does bother me a bit again, and thankfully you brought it up, and you're extremely aware of it. You know that I'm so radical, I almost border on being an anarchist, for crying out loud, okay? I believe in absolute total separation of church and state. And I told you a few years ago I was called to do jury duty downtown, and I wanted to do my civic duty as a citizen of Las Vegas. So along with 40 other people, I filled a courtroom, and they asked me to stand and swear in the Bible, and I don't stand. And the female lady judge asked me why I didn't stand. I said, Your Honor, do you believe in the Constitution? And she said, yes, certainly. I said, doesn't the Constitution specify separation of church and state? And she just stared at me. So I said, I do not think a Bible should be in this. This is a state function. This is not a religious function.
Oh,
the Bible should not be here.
You must have fried her brain. That's amazing.
People started to hiss and boo me, and I said, now, if you bring out the Constitution, I will swear on it, and I would love to do my constitutional duty as a citizen and serve as a jurist. They kept me from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night before they let me go home. Now, the thing that bothers me, we have a lot of born-again idiots infiltrating the Trump camp, beginning with his vice president. Now, Pence is in town today. Pence is in town today, and you want to know something? It was colder in Las Vegas today than it was in Boston and New York.
What was
you,
the high?
That's very unusual, because when Pence shows up, it's on a whole waft of hot air.
Oh.
A lot of people are now gathering and saying, whatever happens in Vegas, I hope stays in Vegas, because they don't want to let him out of town. But the thing that bothers me is that with all the conversions in the Trump family to Judaism, made much more active by the daughters now going around lighting all these menorahs like that, is that not only are we infected with born-again Christians, and the reason they're born-again because they never got it right the first time, and they'll never get it right the second time, we now have a bunch of Orthodox Jews who are infiltrating our state. And there is no way we can beat that. Because reason, and intellect never can get rid of religious emotional beliefs. And any system, any enterprise, any entity that has to create an enemy to survive does not deserve to survive at all. And let's start with J. Edgar Hoover, one of the, I guess you might call him a, I don't know if he was a pedophile, but the Hoods did have pictures of him with Tolson, and that's why they were able to blackmail him for years and years. Now look what they're doing with the United States, created a fake Cold War against the Soviet Union. Totally fake. No reason for the Russians to be a threat to us. They lost 25 million people. The threat was to our economy if we couldn't continue to build planes and bombs. So they had to invent this, and it was all discovered by Jim Garrison when he was investigating the murder of John Kennedy. Okay, so you take a look at religion. They had to invent an enemy. And what's the enemy in religion? It is Satan. But let me ask you a simple question. Listen, I'm a very simple kid, okay? When I was in the first grade, I was like 5 years of age.
Right.
And I remember our teacher.
I was four.
Asking the class, why do the Canadian geese fly south from the North Pole? So a bunch of the kids are trying to answer this question. So when it came to me, I said, what other direction is there? I got booed again. But it was so obvious. And I asked that question as a kid. I was 11 years old, and I was looking for this family to adopt me because I didn't have a family, right? And they were very religious churchgoers. They moved to a house across from the fundamentalist church that they went to. And I would always go with them. I just wanted to belong. I memorized the Bible. I knew everything about the Bible for years. None of the prayers worked, so I stopped. But at one point, I said to the mother, who was really sweet, I said, hold it. Is God all-powerful? And she said, absolutely, John, my son. I said, well, if he's all-powerful, why doesn't he get rid of Satan? Well, that ended my days of going to church, and I do. I think I told you this story once before. I left church early because I had ended up applauding. A guy sang the Lord's Prayer. I can remember his name. I was a kid. His name was John Decker. Beautiful baritone. God, it was just, and I was the only one who applauded. I don't know. Anyway, I got embarrassed and went out and sat on the stairs and knew that my days of going to church were over. My days with this family were over. And the priest came over and he put his arm around my shoulder and he asked me if I believed in God's will. And I said, only if I mentioned in it. So,
John, how old were you there?
I was 11.
Oh, God. That's called a natural gift. That's hilarious.
Well, it's not a gift. Sometimes it's an absolute.
I know, I can go the wrong way.
It's an absolute
really
and total curse. You know, it's made me a fortune and it's cost me a fortune. But thank God I have it. You know, I couldn't have gotten by time if I didn't have it. So anyway, I am so thankful that you're pointing out this business about what's happening with Donald Trump and the infiltration of the government now, not only by born-again Christians, but by Orthodox Jews.
You got, Kushner is a Mossad agent in the White House with the highest security clearance. They're laughing their ass off in Tel Aviv.
Yes, I know. And just somebody sent me a cartoon about this guy who stops Jesus asked Jesus if he could ask him a few questions about politics. Jesus is certainly my son. And the guy says, what do you think about immigration? And Jesus says, well, if you ever get up there, you'll notice we have a wall and some gates that are pretty tough to get through. Anyway, I thank goodness for all of my friends that do that. And I thank goodness, you know, for your show and the guests that you have on the show, and that I can come by here once a month and just get this all out of my system. Sometimes I take over and I yell and all the rest.
No, it's therapeutic for you. It's good. That's fine.
It absolutely is therapeutic. I got to tell you, speaking of,
you know, you're therapy, talking to a very, very intelligent bunch of people out there, and they get
well. Your fans are terrific. I get some of the nicest notes, you know, and especially about my appearance on your show and about some of the stuff that I post. But you know, I don't post anything for anybody to read. I just post what it is that I post just to get it off my mind. It could be like any.
I understand that. I understand that. I got it.
You know, I must tell you, tonight I was kind of hoping that we might talk a little bit about the Academy Awards, but I've only seen one of the movies, so I'm not in any position to really talk about it.
I haven't seen any of the movies, and I don't even know who's nominated, John. I really don't.
Well, I can give you a couple of quick observations. One of the observations that I have is, you remember that last year there was a huge furor because there weren't enough blacks nominated. You remember that? Did I lose you? Jeff? What? Did I lose you?
What's that?
That's weird.
What's that?
Jeff?
What's weird?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What happened? I lost you.
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. The question was, do you remember last year there was a huge furor because there weren't enough blacks nominated?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Okay, well.
Everybody knows that the Academy's racist. Come on.
Yeah, well, not anymore. Well, it's sort of reverse racism now, because now there are a whole bunch of blacks being nominated, but not only blacks, transsexuals, and a mixed marriage movie. So they have gone way overboard.
Yeah,
but
they always do. They always do.
There is one thing I'm sort of pleased with that really surprises me. Mel Gibson is and was an excellent, excellent director. He did a fantastic movie on called Braveheart, and his Apocalypto has one of the best endings in a movie I ever saw. Did you see Apocalypto?
Yes.
The ending of the movie, when this native is running away for his life, trying to save his wife and child or whatever it is, and he rushes up to the beach, to the sea, and what does he see landing? White men!
Yep.
And that's how the movie
that
ends.
That was a brilliant ending. Brilliant.
Oh, my God, it was just...
Well, like, what it said was...
I mean, it was brilliant. Anyway...
That was the end.
He had a couple of drunken rants about the Jews running Hollywood. First of all, it is true, Okay, but second of all, there is no reason for people to get upset by the fact that Jews run Hollywood because they invented it. They created it. They deserve to run Hollywood, okay? And if you have the ability to make a decent movie or something, if it's good enough, it will find an outlet because those people in Hollywood are in business to make money. They don't care what it is as long as it makes money. Okay,
that's
look
right.
At the kid that came from Europe, and on his cell phone, he shot a documentary called Searching for Sugar Man, the greatest documentary about anybody ever in show business. A few years ago, won an Academy Award. Well, they hated him because he said this publicly and repeated it two or three times. Well, he has just done a movie, and I think it's based on a true story. It's about a pacifist who does not want to fight or and kill in the war, but wants to serve in the war. And it's directed by Mel Gibson. And bless their hearts, they gave Mel a nomination.
Oh.
Now, I doubt that he will win it.
I didn't think that
but
would ever happen again.
Amazing. I beg your pardon?
I didn't think that would ever happen again. Well,
no, neither did I. So it points to somebody growing up a little bit in Hollywood to recognize that the talent is really, really an important talent. Now, the only movie that I'm not interested in La La Land. I have all of the movies. You know, I'm a member of the Academy, so I get to vote if I wish to vote or whatever. I never look at any of them. I got scores and scores for the last years. They just gather dust downstairs. One movie that I did see was called Manchester by the Sea. And I went to see it because I had a guest on my show about 2 months ago, and a lady called in urging me to go and see this movie called Manchester by the Sea. She said it was the most emotionally moving experience she ever had in her life.
Huh.
So I went to see the movie. I must tell you, that movie, if you look at any of the previews, if you look at any of the publicity, it never tells you what the story is about. And the reason it never tells you what it is about, because it is so heartbreakingly emotional and irredeemably sad that it's almost impossible to get up and walk out of the theater when it's over. And the cast is terrific. The acting is superb. However, it is a story about a fella who just hangs around with his buddies and they play poker and drink beer and do stuff like that. And his wife doesn't like them hanging around. She kicks him out of the house one night. And so he's feeling depressed. And he wanders off to the store in the middle of the night. It's cold. He's not going to drive because he's drunk, so he's going to walk. While he's away, when he gets back home, his house is on fire. And three of his children are burned to death. The entire movie follows him through that ordeal, over which he never overcomes the grief. Now, how can anyone overcome that grief? I mean, it must be horrible.
You can't.
I mean, look at Cindy Sheehan, this magnificent lady who lost her son to this fake war that Bush created, suffers to this day from losing one child. Okay,
no, it's a wound that never
war.
Heals. Never heals. No way.
It can heal. Now, of course, this is a guy whose negligence caused the death of his own children. Of course, that creates a rift with the wife, and the wife divorces him. And that's... the movie is like that. And what it is that he has to do, there's a young boy, about 15 or 16. It's his nephew. And the boy's father has a heart attack and dies. The survivor now has to sort of semi-adopt this 16-year-old boy and see if he can try to help raise him. And they're both miserable. And that's the movie. Now, they're wonderful. They do a great job. But, you know, I'm a sap for love stories. Isn't that pathetic?
No, no. Look, I'm a romantic as well. There's nothing wrong with being a romantic.
Well, I must tell you, if I could, I think there's a movie called Captain Fantastic. It is with a brilliant actor named Vito Morganson. I believe that's what his name is. This is a story of a guy who has five or six kids and lives in your neck of the woods. His wife gets, they have an idyllic life.
Uh-huh.
And they like homeschool the kids and everything like that.
Yeah.
She has to go to the hospital and she dies. For some reason, he has to go to Texas or someplace to visit his father. And the father does not like the way he's raising his grandchildren and tries to get a court order to take away the children. I would love to see that movie because it is a great love story about the love of a father for his children. And this guy, Vito Morganson, is an absolutely outstanding director. So I was hoping we would be able to talk a little bit about the Academy Awards, but evidently we won't because neither one of us have really seen
we can't make a judgment here.
No,
I can't,
you know, La La Land must be really, really nice. But I got to tell you, last night I saw 1937, Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers movie.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I don't care how good they are in La La Land, there will never, ever be another Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. I mean, even at 2 o'clock in the morning, it was just absolutely thrilling.
You kind of ask yourself, how could they possibly be that magnificent? You just do.
They can't. They just,
nobody can do that now. It's the fluidity of it, the perfection, just absurd. It was like ballet and dancing. But.
Yeah, most of it now looks like break dancing.
Of course.
Now, these break dancers, these kids are absolutely astounding at what they can do with their bodies.
Yeah, I know. But it's something you should let her in high school.
But you know what? Nobody else can dance like that.
I know.
At least when you saw Fred Astaire, you could sway back and forth and sort of daydream that you could do that. But you always felt the joy in watching it. You don't feel that joy when you watch breakdancers. You only feel exhaustion.
No, I agree.
How do those kids do it?
You wonder where the chiropractor is
for the weekend. I meant to tell you very quickly, you know, months ago when I first showed my son my documentary, he said, Dad, you've recorded this in three or four different places. And I said, that's right. And he said, well, listen, I'll pay you to re-record it because when you're in a theater, it has to sound like it's coming from one place. And I sort of ignored him. Well, I have a director now named Dan Jacobs who is the principal cinematographer editor in Las Vegas. And let me tell you very quickly about serendipity. The guy that came out of the woodwork months ago.
2 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll do it in 2 minutes. Gino Minari. Okay, when he was a kid living in Burbank in the 50s, when I was there, he used to play in a junkyard owned by Dan Jacobs' father.
Oh, fun.
Gino moves to Las Vegas. The father moves to Las Vegas, creates a film company, which the son inherits. The son's name is Dan, so he comes to the rescue to put my movie in shape to be able to get into a theater in May for Oscar eligibility, okay?
Good.
And he says to me, John, the audio now has to be as good as the video. You have to re-record your narration. So the last 2 days, I re-recorded that narration and laid it in. I should have it in 3 or 4 days. When I get it, I will send you the video for like 3 or 4 days. You got to look at it in that time frame.
All right.
Let
now
me
you
know
just
you can
wait
look
a minute.
At it then.
You saying you recorded the audio in the last 2 days when you were sick?
Yeah. Yes. And I must tell you, I sounded as good as Orson Welles.
Oh, well, you get that. Gets in your voice, your vocal cords, and makes it deeper and more resonant.
I don't know. I just like when I get with you, I get all worked up. And the vocal
cords. You're so shy. You're the shyest guest I've ever had, John. Come on, man.
In reality, I am. You wouldn't believe what...
Yeah.
What a shy person I am. Anyway, Dan called the other day and said the narration just sounds 100 times better. So when you have a weekend free, maybe hopefully next weekend, I will send you a private copy of this for those 2 or 3 days, and then I'm going to have to take it down. But I want you to make sure you look at it.
All right. Just make sure you let me know, and I'll look at it. I guarantee
I will.
It. Yeah. If you can get it
thank
to me over the
weekend. Thank you so
very,
weekend. Very much. I needed the therapy. Needed to talk to you.
No problem. Johnny, my boy, take care of yourself. I look forward to seeing this now. Don't let me down. I want to see it.
I won't let you down. You're going to be thrilled. As a matter of fact, you're in it.
Oh, God. All right.
There you go. When
thanks.
I talk about the internet, you're in it. So there you go. You have a great weekend. I'll
thanks,
talk
John.
To you in a month.
Okay, Johnny. Thank you. Night.
And I'll stay away from the parks.
Oh. Good thinking. All right.
Okay.
Good night, John. Mr. John Barber, the one and only. Just an amazing, he's a national resource, a treasure, truly. Back Monday. Have a great weekend. Our best of is Sunday night. We'll be at rents.com, of course, anytime you care to stop by. We hope that's often. So have a good one. Be well, and we will talk soon.